Hi, this is Farley Malaris, and thanks for visiting our website, radioastrology.com. A small favor. If you could press the donation button, give it a click, and give us $5, $10, $15, $25, even $2 or $3, anything, to help support the server, the bandwidth, and to enable us to put maybe hundreds of more topics and podcasts on the server. Have a wonderful day. I love you a lot, and thanks for visiting. Come back soon.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio on 93.5 FM KFOX. I'm excited about another week. We have a Scorpio moon and a Pisces sun, and God bless all of you. You know, God bless even some of you out there that don't like me, and God bless those that love me and just are friendly with me, and thanks for being there. It's, you know, I'm up against such fierce competition at 12 noon. The fact that people would listen to the show at 12 noon, I'm honored, so thank you. And as a reward for you listening to this program instead of something else, I'm going to talk about conjunctions today, specific conjunctions. And if you know nothing about conjunctions, then stay tuned. Maybe you'll learn something about astrology off of today's program. Yeah, I figured I'd talk about conjunctions today because conjunctions are one of the most important parts of the astrology natal horoscope chart. A lot of you, in case you're beginners and you have no idea what a horoscope is, it is what an astrologer would cast at the moment of birth in order to try to interpret and delineate a person's identity, individualism, soul path, and to zero in on their karma, or their lessons, their trials, and their tribulations in life. We do find when we cast a birth horoscope by obtaining the date of birth, the time of birth, and the city of birth, that we are able to figure out what sign is rising in the east, which is called the rising sign, which basically is always, almost always, I'd say 1 in 12 times on the average, I'd say 11 out of 12 times on the average, is different than the sun sign. So what you have is people that are like Virgo sun, Leo rising, or Aries sun, Pisces rising, or a Libra sun, Scorpio rising. And the rising is actually just as, if not more important than the sun sign. That is why I implore those of you that are new listeners that do not have any idea what your rising sign is to either get a chart done from an astrologer or send away for one of our horoscopes, because the rising sign is almost like your cosmic social security card. You shouldn't really go through life without it. And we do find out so much more about an individual by knowing their rising sign, how they express themselves, how they basically personality-wise would act, what the shape and size of their body might be, what their childhood was like. So all kinds of major early environmental influences can be discovered by knowing what the rising sign is. We also find out that most of the other planets in the natal or birth horoscope are very different than the sun sign. For example, in my own horoscope, which I like to use as an example, not as an egotistical expression, it just happens to be in the top of my mind, you know, at all times. My horoscope is littered with Leo, which is my sun sign, then Libra, Scorpio, Gemini, also Libra and Cancer, and Sagittarius effects. So if you wanted to try to figure Farley Malaris out, and you could understand what Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius was all mixed together in a fine brew like a blender, then you'd have some idea of what my personality was. And that specifically is what a horoscope's about. If you want to be dirt simple about it, then you just figure out what signs your horoscope covers, mix them up in a blender, and out would pour forth an individual. So we do find all kinds of ambidextrous energy expressions depending on what your horoscope would be, and that's why I'm here to tell you that your sun sign is only 1/12th or 1/11th approximately of what that natal effect would be. So, you know, it could be very, very interesting. But when we're looking at a natal horoscope, we also find that the planets in the horoscope that is cast for a birth chart, that first chart when you're born, they have a relationship to each other usually. And that relationship is what we call aspects. And aspects is, I'd say, the key most important part of planetary astrology beyond sun sign, because more than knowing where planets are in your birth chart, and what signs they're in as far as what blending or what mixture of energies you're going to have, we also want to know how the planets are going to relate to each other. See, because not all signs get along with each other. Like typically Virgo and Gemini are stress signs, and typically Libra and Cancer are stress signs, and so is Leo and Taurus. You know, there's all kinds of combinations that create stress. Well, there's also combinations that create balance, like Aries and Sagittarius. They get along great. Or Libra and Aquarius. People say, well, Farley, how do you know that? How do you know what signs get along better with others and what signs get along better with each other and what signs don't? Well, it's very simple. If you learn the elements, if you know that there are 12 signs in the zodiac, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, then you will note that of the 12 signs, there are four elemental families that we call fire, earth, air, and water. And of those four elemental families of fire, earth, air, and water, you can put in three of each, three out of the 12. Actually, 3 times 4 equals 12. So you have four elemental families, fire, earth, air, and water, and 3 signs in each family, and hence you have it. And basically, the elements within a certain element family, like fire, fire signs usually go along well with other fire signs, as earth signs also blend well with other earth signs. Air signs do excellent with air signs, and water signs do better with water signs. So when it comes to elemental analysis astrologically, it's important to know what's fire, what's earth, what's air, and what's water. And in case you're recording the show or taking notes, I will now tell you what the four family groupings are. The fire signs, the 3 of them, and all the family groupings create a magic triangle in the zodiac. So if you connect the fire triangle, it ends up being Leo, Aries, and Sagittarius. And they all blend and complement each other quite well. The water triangle is Pisces, Scorpio, and Cancer. They get along great. The air triangle is Libra, Aquarius, and also Gemini. They get along great. And then the earth triangle would be Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. So there you have, you know, exactly the formula as to what blends for compatibility are free flow exchanges for high energy communication. Now also, if the question was asked, Farley, which signs do not get along together? Well, then we have another 3 groupings of families that are different than the elemental groupings that we will call the modalities. And the modalities specifically are also labeled cardinal, fixed, and mutable. And these are other ways that the planets interact with each other by finding out which signs belong to each grouping of cardinal, fixed, and mutable. Basically, and for you beginners out there, if you're not recording the show, you may be missing some of this. This is the type of show you might have to listen to 4 or 5 times and go, whoa, Farley, I still don't know what you're talking about. Astrology, like anything else, is a science. And I, even though I don't claim to be the best teacher by far or anything else, the other day I made a remark that I did a rain dance and acted like I was a shaman to create the storm in L.A., and somebody wrote me a letter, and they were very upset that I would even claim to be a shaman or have those powers. Well, you know, sometimes I do come out with what we call metaphysical sarcasm, and unfortunately we got people out there that take every word I say so personal that it just pisses them off so much when I try to claim to be anything other than perfect. Or if I do claim to be perfect, that makes them mad. If I don't claim to be perfect, that makes them mad. You're not going to please everybody, right? But anyway, just try to. If nothing else, maybe the tone of my voice will keep you listening. Still, what we're talking about here is that there are 4 signs that fit in each one of the 3 modality groupings of cardinal, fixed, and mutable. 4 times 3 equals the 12 signs again. And whereas the fire, earth, air, and water, the elemental families, had free flow, smooth communication, and compatibility, the modality families, cardinal, fixed, and mutable, usually don't get along. We usually find stress, opposites, and even though sometimes opposites do attract, typically we find plenty of competition when opposites set up. Okay, let's take a look at the cardinal family. In order to find the cardinal signs, we take 1 sign from each of the 4 elemental families. So there's a cardinal fire, a cardinal earth, a cardinal air, and a cardinal water. And we do the same with the fixed and the mutable grouping. There's a fixed fire, a fixed earth, a fixed air, and a fixed water sign, and same with mutable. There's a mutable fire, mutable earth, mutable air, and mutable water. So what you get here is you understand that the cardinal signs are the freight train, the initiators, the volunteers, the go-getters. The fixed signs are the leaders, the dominators, the authoritarians, and the ones that usually are bossy and stubborn and pushy, which is the category I fit into. And the mutable signs would be the ones that would be the more open-minded, the followers, and the listeners, the absorbers, and oftentimes, unfortunately, the confused. Now let's go over all the signs and see what's what. The cardinal grouping, the cardinal fire is Aries. The cardinal earth is Capricorn. The cardinal air is Libra. And the cardinal water is Cancer. Whereas elemental groupings got along with each other, modality groupings don't. So we find that the four stress signs in the cardinal grouping are Aries, Capricorn, Libra, and Cancer, which all stress each other out. So hence, if you have any one of these groupings, for example, any two of these groupings or more, in your birth horoscope, which is what the original point was, then that would create stress in your soul's pattern, in your life's purpose, and also in your karma. See how it works? So Aries, Capricorn, Libra, and Cancer is what we call cardinal signs, which would create cardinal stress. Now, the fixed grouping, the fixed fire is Leo, the fixed earth is Taurus, the fixed air would be Aquarius, and the fixed water would be Scorpio. And basically, what we're talking about when we talk about fixed signs is competition, ego, conceit, bossiness, arrogance, and oftentimes situations of know-it-allishness, and obviously people get ticked off that I'm a Leo with a Scorpio moon because some of that ego and conceit bleeds through and they take it personal. So they write me letters every once in a while or call up and say, Farley, you're being a Leo. So anyway, obviously the fixed family represents fixed stress. And if you had any two or more of the grouping in the fixed family of Leo, Taurus, Aquarius, or Scorpio in your natal chart, then you might have a competition or an ego battle with yourself or other people by having that. You starting to understand this a little bit? Well, hopefully you will. So the mutable family also has stress, and there's only four signs left that we haven't covered, and the mutable fire would be Sagittarius, the mutable earth would be Virgo, the mutable air would be Gemini, and the mutable water would be Pisces. And obviously these four elements do not get along with each other because they breed too much confusion. And also they breed too much open-mindedness sometimes, and they also may breed too much of trying to follow or listen to other people without listening to their own heart. Oftentimes, mutable signs need more advice, more direction, more situations of encouragement, of inspiration, and oftentimes they can be used or manipulated or led down the primrose lane, so to speak. And we do find if you have two or more mutable aspects in your chart, of either Sag, Pisces, Virgo, or Gemini, then this can breed for confusion and too much open-mindedness. And basically, we get into a situation where these people can psychologically and emotionally be in a lot of pain if they're not in touch with these elements. See, astrology is an interesting science because it explains to us why we are the way we are and how we do the things we do. Now, today's topic, what I wanted to cover was an aspect that we call conjunction, which is another way that the planets relate to each other. And conjunction is an interesting aspect because this occurs when two planets in the horoscope chart are in the same degree of longitude. Or, from the Earth's point of view, if you look up in the sky through a telescope or with a naked eye, and you see two planets that are very close together, within, if you measured it, an inch or two maybe, in the sky, that would be called a conjunction. And this gives great strength to the energies of the interacting planet. And this aspect can be very harmonious depending on what other planets in the chart do to the conjunction, or extremely uncomfortable depending on the nature of the planets involved. Now, conjunctions with Mars or Saturn, for example, and sometimes with Uranus or Neptune can be very painful and confusing, especially conjunctions between these two planets, like a Mars-Saturn or a Mars-Uranus or a Saturn-Uranus or a Saturn-Neptune conjunction, because it's like you don't really see what happens in your life until after it's done. You kind of live in denial with a veil or with fog when you have too many conjunctions in your natal chart. And more can be determined about the nature of a particular conjunction by comparing the nature of the sign in which it occurs the planets involved, and a planet strongly compatible to the sign of conjunction can dominate the planets of others. But the easy formula and the key that I want to give you to understanding any conjunction, that simple formula that I like to give people is, first of all, in order to understand what conjunctions mean, you should understand the keywords, K-E-Y-W-O-R-D-S, of each and every one of the eight planets besides the Earth, that's Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, the Sun, the Moon, and the rising sign. So those eight planets, plus the Sun, plus the Moon, plus the rising, equals 11 basic factors that we will call planetary factors, that if you knew the keywords of, it would help you tremendously understand what conjunctions mean. Also, what I'm also going to give you today are the zodiacal energies, okay, the zodiacal energies which embrace or which rule each and every one of the planets. Because like I have a Venus-Uranus conjunction, and because Venus also means Libra and Taurus, and Uranus means Aquarius, to understand that Venus-Uranus conjunction, you must understand what would happen if you took a blender and threw Libra elements, Taurus elements, and Aquarius elements, or all their key words into the blender, and then frapped it, and frappéed it, right? And then perhaps you would be able to come up with some answers about trying to interpret the personality or the character or the karma of an individual who has planets in their chart that are in a conjunction aspect, which basically means that you were born when planets not only were located in the same sign, but they were real close together, and we're going to give that an orb in the zodiac of 8 degrees. The whole zodiac embraces a full circle of 360 degrees. So if there are planets that are within 8 degrees of each other, we call that a conjunction. First, the keywords. First, we have the Sun. And the key word for the Sun is soul, father, also will, and confidence. And we're going to add creative to that. Once again, soul, father, will, confidence, and creative. That's everything the Sun means. And the sign attached to Sun would be Leo. So any conjunction to any planet to the Sun would have a Leo effect to it, or would add confidence, will, father, soul, and creativity to that aspect. And let's go to the Moon next. The key word for the Moon would be emotions, obviously feelings, the mother, also home, security, and the past. Once again, the key words for the Moon would be emotions, the mother, home, security, and the past, and anything to do with feelings. And the zodiac sign that we would relate to the Moon would be Cancer. So there obviously be a major Cancer element added, any Moon conjunctions. Okay, now we got the planet Mercury, and the key words for Mercury would be communication, psychology, brothers and sisters, details, short trips, analysis, criticism, and judgment, which is what a lot of people have been doing lately, judging. And let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And, okay, once again, communication, psychology, brothers and sisters, details, and short trips, and also analysis. And we do find that there are two signs that rule Mercury, because it's so powerful, the signs of Virgo and Gemini. All right, so, yes, we would add Virgo and Gemini elements to any Mercury conjunction. I have a Sun conjunct Mercury in my natal chart, Sun conjunct Mercury in Leo, so we add more Leo because the Sun's involved, plus Virgo and Gemini, and hence we find out why I'm such an ambidextrous fellow, psychological in nature from the Gemini, analytical and critical perhaps from the Virgo, and a very strong sense of will and confidence from the Leo. And then Venus, the key words for Venus would be yin, also female, also love, tender, sensitive, values, and worth. And also, the two signs that rule Venus would be Taurus and Libra. All right, so if you're a Libra, Venus would be your sign. Let's go over here to Mars, and the keywords for Mars. It's going to be tough to understand conjunctions unless you get your keywords down. Because how are you supposed to throw this stuff into the blender and mix it up to understand it? See, astrology is a science of combinations. That's the only way we're going to get this stuff down. So Mars would represent the yang force, or the male side to our personas, and also sex and health, drive, and also, well, I guess hostility, if there is any, or anger. I would say negative emotions, and macho side, if there is any, and also men. And Mars is ruled by Aries. Yeah, fire sign. The key words for Jupiter would be expansion, philosophy, travel, foreigners, expansion, philosophy, travel, foreigners, and also growth, okay, evolution. And obviously Jupiter conjunctions can push the panic button on some planets. If you have Jupiter conjunct Mars, you may have tremendous needs, expansion, or have an intense philosophy about men or sex in your life. So we do find out a heck of a lot about people when we understand their conjunction. And the sign that Jupiter rules is Sagittarius. Then the key words for Saturn would be karma, limitation, trials, tribulation, tests, constraint, and also lessons, and absolution. And the sign that rules Saturn is Capricorn, so there's a Capricorn element connected with anything that is Saturn. Uranus, the key words for Uranus would be awakening, would be goals, friends, would be science, metaphysics. Okay, awakening, goals, friends, science, metaphysics, changes, breakups, variety, innovation. Now, I have Venus, which is my yin planet, my planet of the woman side to me, conjunction Uranus. So you find all those soft and tender and sensitive values and loving values are very Uranian in nature. And because Uranus is the lord of Aquarius, also very Aquarian in nature, so some of the things that I like or love, because Venus always tells us what I like or what anyone likes, would be very Aquarian in nature. I like goals and I like science and I like variety. And even though I sometimes don't like changes and breakups, it happens because I have a Venus conjunct Uranus in my chart. But instead of breaking up, just offer variety or tremendous innovation. And perhaps that may be partially why I need to be interesting and be around interesting people, because of my limited attention span. So Uranus rules Aquarius. Neptune and Pluto, the two last planets. Neptune's keywords are illumination, also spiritual, escapist, denial, dreamy, fantasizing, the water, and psychic awareness, or being your own worst enemy. And the sign that Neptune rules, of course, is Pisces. And finally, Pluto. Pluto is a metamorphosis planet. It also rules Kundalini sex. It rules legacies and other people's assets, life and death, rebirth, and all kinds of personal transition, subtle transition, and the occult, mystical, and secrets. And Pluto is ruled by the sign of Scorpio. So you could actually take a Mercury-Pluto conjunction. Well, then you'd have to think, because Mercury is a communication planet, if it's sitting on top of Pluto in Leo, I have a Mercury-Pluto conjunction, then what would fascinate this person's mind would be everything that would be Scorpio, or sex, Kundalini sex, or talking about it, the occult, mysticism, and transition, metamorphosis, rebirth, which are things I talk about on the show all the time with my son, Mercury-Pluto conjunction. See how it works? Part of our extended topic today, if you know what your conjunction is and you ask me, then I'll be happy to look at it for you.
Hi, it's me, Farley Malaris again. I sure hope you enjoyed that last topic, learned something from it, or were enlightened by it. At least I try hard to please. Just want you to know I was in full trance without any notes when I delivered all these topics. Now, you can help us expand RadioAstrology.com and have perhaps even hundreds of more topics, larger bandwidth, and a heck of a lot more people enjoying and being enlightened by our information. You know how? Just click on that donate button when you visit our site, or maybe after you hear one of our topics. Whether it's $25, $50, $10, $5, even $2 or $3 will help out a lot. And I'll really appreciate it. In fact, if I should ever meet you in person, I may give you a hug for an hour. I hope you don't mind. So thank you so much for visiting RadioAstrology.com. And thank you so very much for donating to our website to support it for public service and information. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. Stay positive, stay confident and loving, and we'll see you again very soon right here at RadioAstrology.com. Have a great day.